Hey, welcome to the Married Man Show. And this is Married Man Chris, Married Man Tim, who's shaking his head, and single guy Nick. Why? What's wrong with that?
Amateur hour. Sounds nothing like the actual Married Man Show.
All right, start over. I didn't like how it sounded.
You're supposed to be start like, over. Hey, start welcome to the Married Man Show!
Okay, yeah. All right.
Go.
In a cartoon voice.
But the worst part about it is I hate that he's actually recording, which means you know he's going to put all this shit in there somewhere in the show.
I'm not doing any stupid bloopers like the broadcast. All of this is staying in, so you just keep on going. Keep...
All right. I'll do my best, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, jack it off, man.
I'm going to jack it off right now. Hey, welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Chris, Married Man Tim, and Single Guy Nick.
That's okay. He just goes Nick nowadays. And Nick. But Nick.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everybody doing this evening?
Fine and dandy. Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's been a long week already. I mean, it's only what is it? Wednesday, but I feel like it's been quite the week. But I believe some people in the show have probably had a longer week than others.
I was just gonna say, I got you beat no matter what. Why don't you describe your week and then I'll trump it appropriately because we're recording it during the debates. We're actually not watching the debates to record this episode of the Married Man Show out of protest because
why even have a third debate? This is just stupid.
Every good story needs a trilogy, right?
Exactly.
Except the new Harry Potter, which will be 5 movies, apparently.
Oh boy. Anyways, yeah, my week. I just had a long week, man, with work and everything else going on. It's just been kind of crazy, but
sounds pretty rough.
Oh yeah, man. It's been nuts.
How about you, Nick? I heard you're having a pretty hard week too.
You want me to go ahead and tell this story? As I was saying to Tim, Chris, before you joined, I'm a bit cross with my mom this week.
I'm a bit cross with my mom this week.
Well, so when I left grad school and I went, this is a little bit of a long story, but, when I went back to Tennessee, I transferred everything, my address, back to my Tennessee address. And then when I got hired out here, I told Dad, I was like, hey, I'm going to leave my bills and credit cards and things still at this address for a few months. And then when I get out here and get my finances in order, I'll transfer them back. He's like, cool, no big deal. I'll make the minimum payments for you. I was like, great, great parents. Well, a month ago, Mom calls me and says, can you start helping pay on this credit card? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, give me one more month and then I'll transfer it back to my address. She's like, okay. And then I even go the extra next step and explain to her, like, what I'm getting every 2 weeks finance wise, just so she knows like where I'm coming from money. Well, the next week I get an email from my mom from Bank of America saying we've acknowledged your change of address, which I think is really weird because I don't belong to Bank of America. So I think, okay, it's just spam. I ignore it. I get, last Friday I get a bill in the, mailbox. It's a credit card bill from Bank of America. Now, I don't know if you guys, if your parents were nice like this when you guys went to college. Mom opened up a credit card for me when I first went to college for emergencies. Like, you need a pair of shoes, you go on a date, whatever, because you don't have a job, you're in school. Mm-hmm. Well, she's left this card open for 16 years and barely, if at all, made any payments on it in 16 years. What? And I don't even have this card anymore. So this is what was weird. So I get this bill in, and it's $5,000 that she has let run for 16 years.
What?
Yeah. And so she's very financially responsible. And the thing is that, I've had jobs here and there over the years. She could have easily been like, oh, you remember that card? Like, do you think you could pay on it? Which I always thought she was paying on it because it was one of those like, oh, I'll take care of it because you don't have a job because you're 19 and in college. So I get this thing and I'm like, what the hell? And I want to yell at her so bad, but she's in China, so I can't do it.
Oh my God.
And so I call Dad and I tell him all about it. He goes, well, your mom, she just doesn't think like that. I didn't know that either. And so he's like, okay. Well, yesterday I open the mailbox again. She's transferred the other credit card that I've always had back here as well. And it's like, so now I've got just this ton of debt that's just been dumped on me. And I'm just like, motherfucker. Like,
so wait, whose debt? What is it, your debt or your mom's debt?
Okay. They're both in my name. Okay. But this first card that I got, the Bank of America card, I only used it from like 2000 to 2004. It's all interest, late fees, and all these things it's been compacting for like 10 years.
So your credit's like effed.
Well, it's not too bad because I clearly got into this building and they did a credit check. So it can't be too bad because she has been making minimum payments every now and then.
But you live in like some war-torn area of LA? I mean, there's police sirens every 3 seconds.
No,
previous tenant was murdered.
No, I actually live in a pretty good area of downtown Los Angeles. It's not the platinum area or anything where people are getting limited.
Platinum area?
Whatever you want to call it. it's good.
So that's why you're cross at your mom?
I'm cross at my mom because she let debt compile on me and didn't tell me in my name. And then two, after I tell her that I can't afford, give me a little bit more time and then I'll do it myself, she goes ahead and does it. So it's like, you didn't even listen to anything I said. You're just like, oh, I don't want to pay this anymore. Fuck you. Good luck, son. And I was like, well, that's very motherly of you.
She's bugging out to China. Cause that's, what owns all of our, national debt anyway is China. So it makes sense that she'd go there.
Yeah. But it's cool. Like I talked to Dad again last night and he was like, okay, I'll help you out with one of those cards. Cause he knows I can't just, because it would take me years to pay off this debt.
Yeah, I've got that problem.
I'm already making $500 a month payments for student loan debts. It's like, and now I have to pay this as well. It's just insane.
Dude, I had this student loan conversation today with a couple of coworkers, and it's insane to me what college tuition is turning into, but. From the get-go, what college tuition has always been very polarizing, depending on what school you go to, right? So, if you've got a significant amount of debt, if you went into a great school, whether it's an Ivy League school or a university, it's a prestigious university. Like, I know people who went to Boston College, right? So you go to Boston College, which, by the way, is like a $50,000, probably more, I have no idea. $50,000 to $60,000 a year school, who have then since gone to grad school or law school, actually. So I know there's one guy I know who went to Boston College for 4 years for his undergrad, and then he went and studied law at Suffolk University in Boston. So he probably has upwards of, anywhere near, $400,000 to $500,000 in total student loan debt.
You could never pay that off.
And he has the same job as I do. And I have pretty good confidence because I actually was hired into this role from outside of my company. And typically when that happens, you get paid a little bit more. And he was kind of like a homegrown guy who kind of worked his way up. But I know I make more money than he does. And we've been out of school I've been out of college for 14 years or so. And it's like, is it actually worth it to have a degree with a prestigious name school on the degree itself? Or is that actually all like hogwash nowadays? What do you guys think about
that? Well, like one, the reason why college is so more expensive now is that, up until I think the mid 70s, early 80s, the state government would fund usually about 60% of all college money. But then because of lotto and a lot of other things and just government spending, they've lowered it now to around 28 to 35%. So we're paying. No, it's just the truth. Like you look at how much the money the state now provides to universities, we're paying now more. We're paying up for the difference in the money. That's why it costs so much more. Mm-hmm. But what was Chris's original question?
Well, I don't know. But like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I went to school for 5 years. Whoops.
Well, me too.
Technically 4.5, but I stretched out that last semester into 2. But I'm personally paying off my student debt, and I will say that it never exceeded $24,000 or $5,000.
Sure.
For my entire
entirety of my college tuition.
Right.
And I have coworkers like who are literally in the same position as I am with debt that is 20 times the size of my debt.
Sure. Right.
Like that baffles the shit out of me. Like now after 14 years later, now that you can no longer say, hey, I'm going to BC or I'm going to Suffolk Law. Like, what do you have to show for it? Like, right. I don't even fucking know where my degree is. Mm-hmm. Like, I got it. And then the school that I went to a state college that has since turned into state university. And they actually reached out to me. It's like, hey, do you want to renew your certificate from your degree? So it says Framingham State University. If you do, that'll be $50. I'm like, fuck you. I don't even know where that stupid certificate is, let alone do I need it. And I think I've just realized that since, you know, I've been out of school for 14 years, the more and more I see things, the more and more I realize it doesn't fucking matter.
No.
Like if people will argue and they'll say that, oh, you're going to get a better education if you go to a prestigious school. And that's horse shit.
Yeah.
If you can't get a great education by going to like a state college, and I'm saying from my experience, I'm not saying this is every state college, but that's more on you as opposed to the actual school. Because I had two separate teachers who actually taught in Boston colleges and during the day and came and taught at my school in the afternoon session. And they literally taught the exact same class in both schools.
Now, that's what I was going to talk about is that, yeah, the main reason for college now, it's no longer to get an education, really, because as long as you can do research now, you can do it on the internet and learn just as much in 5 seconds as you can from a semester at some bullshit university. The right. main reason to go university or grad school or whatever is connections. That's the only reason. Because I got my first two undergraduates, and they're practically worthless to me. My third undergraduate was the university paid for, and then my master's degree. The people that I met in both those programs are the people who got me my job, or the people who I learned things from.
You have four degrees?
I have 4 degrees, yeah.
Oh, my God. What are they in?
My first two are in history and archaeology, because I was an archaeologist for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then while I was doing archaeology, I got into GIS, which is map making, but it's through computerized map making, things like that. And
like
so I was
Buster
making...
Bluth? Cartography?
No, it's not cartography. It's not cartography. But I mean, cartography is a fun skill, but no, like basically you take GPS units, a lot of other things, and I was making data, and so I was making maps on the computers
it.
Of
geocaching.
Our sites.
Yeah, I got it.
Geocaching. Yeah, things like that. Yeah.
Yep.
And then so I went to grad school for it, and then this is what I'm doing now, but I'm making all the maps for, you know, of gas pipelines and internal maps for
you mother fracker.
Yeah. Not natural gas. Yeah, which is fracking too.
So just just to give you guys an experience, clearly like my education level, I went to junior college for 2 years here in California. I don't know if it's called community college or if you even have them out there. It's basically you do the first 2 years at a severely reduced rate. And I was able to save money, and then I transferred to San Diego State University, state school, and finished my degree in 2 years. I went and got into a film program and have a degree in TV, film, and new media. Now, the number one thing that I learned was basically school and college is there to train you to work with deadlines, to meet people, to make connections. Because like in my industry, like if I wanted to work in LA industry and people come up and ask me like, what do you think, what school should I go to? I'm like, go to school if you really want to go to school. But in this job field of like video production, TV production, film production, it's about what you can do. And like, I believe that you're able, if you have access to save that money and buy a camera instead and start working it. And you can, it's the only good thing about school is connections. And I'm like in a Facebook group with people I graduated with, and they're always like, hey, you need production or whatever. And of course I moved away from San Diego in the LA area. So that was kind of not the area of interest I went into, and I've been working in my field for 10 years, but also I'm a college professor, guys. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is my first semester. I'm teaching video production at a community college. So Professor Tim, fan favorite.
Nice. Fan favorite.
But to say what you were talking about, Chris, about is it more beneficial to go to a rich private school versus a university, I would say go back to what we're saying. Like, the only reason why it's better to go to a rich private school, even though you're blowing through a shit ton of money, is because the contacts you're going to make there are with people who are rich and they own the companies that, you know, so if you meet some guy whose dad owns an accountant firm or a law firm and you want to be a lawyer and they're going to pay, you know, six figures starting out versus some podunk law school that you went to university and you're getting paid 60 grand a year. Like, you're the investment's better, but you're going to be more in debt.
I mean, I guess I think that is a scenario, but I don't think that's the likely scenario. I mean, I know so many people who are just in up to their neck in debt, and it doesn't matter what connections they have, they're going to be in that debt for a long time. I mean, you look at a doctor, like look at, and before we get too far into this, but like if you look into like someone who goes to medical school, right? And they become,
that's what a doctor is. Thanks for defining what a doctor is, dude. I learned something.
I'm not defining.
Went to medical
school.
Great. Go on.
You're such a tool, Tim. I'm not defining what it is. I'm saying, but like the process of going to become a doctor, your undergrad 4 years, then you're going to go to grad school, med school, and you're looking at easily $600,000, $800,000 in debt. And today, doctors make shit for money. Like a primary care physician is not going to be, and that's if you're going to become a primary care physician. A primary care physician does not make this glorious income that is going to have their debt to income ratio be leveled off when it comes to their to what they owe for their student loans. In fact, it actually makes them shittier doctors because, oh man, this is getting real political for a second. But like the healthcare system that in which we have here in the United States, as it stands, pays doctors for quantity, not the quality of their work. So they're going to be working, busting their ass, working 60 hours a week, trying to cram in 25, 30 patients a day, just so they can make their money through the insurance companies, right? And effectively reducing the quality of care while still having a mountain of debt that they have to get through. And I don't know. I just think it's terrible. I don't know where the fuck I'm going with this conversation or why I'm going on this side rant, but like, it's just bass-ackwards.
Yeah, it really is a sad situation that we're in, but I feel like it's like everything's like this. Honestly, we could pick anything and be the old man. They're like shaking our fists, and Jack's not even here today. In fact, we didn't even mention, like, hey, guys, Jack's not here today, and we took over the Mary Man
show. Yeah, he doesn't listen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so I think, you know, since we talked about, like, financial woes and everything, it would be a good time to mention, you know, Jay and Jack and their patreon.com, and how if you want to support our show, you can go to patreon.com and just search in Jay and Jack, and you can give us $1 a month or more to help support the show and support the whole network, you know, their new Westworld show. And while we're at it, we might as well say thank you to Brad from Chicago,
Tack from Tokyo,
and
Eckhart Richter.
Eckhart Richter
and Max Headroom for being our guest host today, who just dropped his mic for the second time.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, thank you guys for supporting Jane Jack Network, and you support the Married Man Show. And like always, if we reach our goal, eventually we'll you'll get our video live. And come and do the show live with us.
Yeah, it's funny. Back when we used to do the media junkyard, and we used to do our live shows and have the chat rolling.
You see, he's doing the royal we, right? He's the only one that was on media junkyard. Nick, did you notice that?
No.
Oh well, but back when the media junkyard, used to do our show, we did the live podcast, but that was didn't even have a chat. That was just back in the day when we only had a chat window as opposed to having chat and video. But I would love to do a video chat little live show. I think we'd be a lot of fun. How close are we to that? A couple hundred bucks for us?
I think like 120, I think.
120 bucks away? We can do that.
Oh, yeah. We can totally do that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, if you guys are interested in that, and also, you know, there's other perks. Check out the Patreon. And I think that's it for our ad sales this month or week or whatever we're doing right now.
Yes.
So, guys, I got into a car accident.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a terrible week. So, yeah. I'm really sad to hear about you being cross with your mom and Chris, how you had to work this week. It's very, very, very sad for you. But on Saturday night, me and my entire family, including my dog, were in the car, and it was raining out here in California, and someone, didn't stop at the stop sign, and we skidded into them. Yeah. Kind of bummer. I got an estimate on my car today, $10,000 in repair.
Holy shit.
Well, it's not your fault, though.
No, it's not my fault.
I didn't have insurance. That's right.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah, guess what?
Yeah.
The person we ran into was not only an underage person, a non-licensed person, but also uninsured. The vehicle was uninsured. So... yeah, I'm waiting to hear back from my insurance provider to see what they're gonna do for me. But the blue book value is less than the repairs, so I'm guessing they're gonna total my car.
Total, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible.
Yeah. So the best part too is haven't had car payments for a year, and I just told Jules, I'm like, okay, we're officially out of car payments, so something horrible will happen eventually, and then we'll have car payments again, because that's just what happens with cars and life. But the most important part of it all is, family is all fine, and everybody's okay, just sore and bruises, messed up my shoulder, and Jules has got bruises, and my daughter Charlotte, who's 6, is more freaked out than anything. But the baby's fine, no problem. And that baby car seat did its job. It was the most tight I've ever seen the baby's car seat before. So we knew it worked. And then of course you have to buy a new car seat as soon as that happens, because once you're involved in an accident, no more. The car seat's garbage, basically.
Yeah. Well. Yes. If the accident, the impact was bad enough, they say they could potentially compromise the car seat. But your insurance company should actually cover that as well.
Yeah, they're covering my car seat. Good. So I bought a new car seat. The craziest part, $10,000 worth of damage, and the frame is bent of the vehicle. I was probably going 10 miles an hour or less when I hit the brakes because I was in a shopping center and just skidded. And it's crazy the amount of damage that it ended up being, because, it's just I wasn't going that fast. I mean, the airbags didn't deploy, and the police officer told me that usually they deploy at 15 miles an hour. So I was somewhere under there, and I think we probably would be more messed up from the airbags deploying, if anything. So, other person's fine too, I guess, but I'm out of luck.
You skidded into them because they ran the light.
They ran
a stop sign.
They ran a stop sign, and, I didn't have a stop sign. Yeah, I didn't have a stop sign. I had right away. So
priority one was your family. Your family's okay, which is great. So what's really important after that is, did you fuck up their car?
Not too bad, honestly.
Fuck!
There's no way their damage is anywhere close to $10,000. They lost a portion of their front bumper. Their wheel well was damaged. Their tire was flat. And their passenger side door was dented,
I hope you fucked up his axle. How about that?
Yeah. Well,
did you actually see this person? Did you give him I will end you look?
Well, I was more a freaked. I've never been in a car accident at all level of, there's steam or smoke coming out of my engine block, and I'm we're all get out of the car, you just picture the movies, it's gonna explode as we run away.
Cracked your radiator.
And I hand the baby and my daughter to my wife, and I'm holding a beagle, my beagle, in my arms as we're running. Yep. He didn't need him expressed at that point. He was the only one not wearing a seatbelt, so that, yeah, the whole thing was just scary, and it really makes you...
Could have been
you...
so much worse. I'm happy to hear that was good, good that, news in the end.
Yeah, good news, everyone's fine, and that's the most important part. And it's really affected how, like, my perspective on things, and... you know, it's really I really feel different than I did on Saturday. So if anything came out of it, it's like I'm happy, and I'm happy. The thing that like really crystallized it for me was like in that moment, and my wife has been making fun of me for screaming, but I actually like yell. I wouldn't say scream. No, it wasn't like that type of scream. It was more like no. And
did you do the mom arm? Did you, you know, across the no, the driver's?
Yeah, I reached out for her, but like all I could think about were them. Like it wasn't like I knew the second I hit the brakes, I'm like, we're hitting, and I just yelled no, and everyone was fine. So I was happy about That's that. Good. And then I went to a chiropractor for the first time, guys. You ever been to a chiropractor?
No.
Yeah.
I've been interested in it though.
I never believed in it. I was a skeptic when I went, and I still am skeptical. Like, I'm like, okay, so you made my neck make a cracking noise. I still don't feel good. And my wife's like, oh, I feel so much better. I'm like, I'm glad for you. It's just like, she's like, it's probably because you don't believe in it that it didn't work. And I'm like, because
well, there you go.
It's a
Your
mental
wife just
thing.
Discounted this whole entire like. Medical science.
It's not, but it's not medical science. but okay. I'm happy for people who do it. And if there's any chiropractors, like I hope like Tack from Tokyo is not a chiropractor. But
there goes my sponsorship.
At least you didn't take an airbag. Yeah. I actually a side story there. Back a year or two ago, I was in a parking garage. And I completely misjudged where I was driving, and I was taking a turn around. I was going probably about 20, 25 miles an hour through this parking garage, and I actually plowed into like one of the cement posts that is like structurally sound for the parking garage in my old car. And I absolutely took an airbag to the face, and that was most unpleasant. And totaled my car.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The only wreck I've ever been in is kind of similar to Tim's story. I was driving down a straight road, and then I was in Knoxville, and Knoxville is fairly hilly, and this car was coming down the hill at easily 50, 55 miles an hour, and I could see it coming going, that fucker's not going to stop. That fucker's not going to stop. And so I hit the brakes because I was going, and then they just kept going. I ended up teeing her because it met, like she was coming down the hill. You can see how my hands are. And then like I hit her. And then she spun her car like another block down the road, hitting all these parked cars with her car as she was spinning around. And I was so like adrenaline pumped at that moment of like, what the fuck is the matter with you? Like, you know, like you don't do that. She gets out of the car and she's hammered. I mean, just hammered drunk. And she starts crying. She's like, are you going to call the cops? I was like, you just hit 7 cars. You know, I was like, and if someone else had seen it, had already called the cops, though. It was her 21st birthday. And then I start yelling at her again, because I'm like, do you not have friends? It's your 21st birthday. Why are you driving? You know? But it's all this adrenaline, you know, that's just going, because I'm scared to death of, like, I could have went through the windshield, you know?
Yeah. It seems like you're pretty cross with her.
I was very cross with her at the moment. Our cars actually crossed together.
Oh, man, yeah.
Forgive me. You know, for someone who goes to cheese and wine functions, you should know your proper English, Tim.
No, I've never been cross at anybody. I've been angry or mad or disappointed.
Buffy, please call the State Farm agent.
That's funny because we were just coming back from a cheese festival. That's why we got into the car accident. No, the worst part was like we were going to party outlet because we were going to pick up favors for a baby shower that my wife is throwing. So great. I'm glad we went there that evening, you know, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, you can't really think of it that way because, you know, you could have been somewhere else and been hit by a meteorite or something, right?
True.
What no, can't play the what if game.
Oh, hey, speaking of meteorites and whatnot.
Wow, that never comes out.
Yeah, right. And this is actually very loosely connected to it. I was reading an article the other day that in August of 2017, so next August, There will be, for the first time in almost 100 years, a complete solar eclipse. I think it's on August 17th or 21st. I'm not quite sure. But there's like, if you Google it, there's actually like this line that kind of dissects the United States. And if you go to, Charleston. No.
That's a line that dissects.
The line dissects the fucking globe, dude. Oh.
You said the United States. Sorry.
I'm not. Gentlemen, this is exactly why Tim went to film school.
I'm no cartologist like Nick.
Cartologist.
I didn't know I was a heart doctor.
That's a cardiologist.
Cardiologist. Yeah.
Wow, you guys are fucking awful.
Hey, don't get cross with us.
But anyways, there's like a line across that goes from like Portland, Oregon. It goes diagonally down to Charleston, South Carolina. But it'll be the first time in over 100 years we actually have a full solar eclipse. I'm absolutely considering taking a trip to Charleston or somewhere along that route. They're going out to Portland or whatever. I would love to see a total solar eclipse. I don't know about you guys. Who wants to go? Let's go. Patreon level, $2,000.
I could have sworn that, like in 93 or so, because I remember going outside the school and putting on the glasses and looking up and seeing the eclipse, completely go across the sun. So maybe,
that was in the 80s, because I was in like first or kindergarten when that happened. But that wasn't a total eclipse. That was a partial eclipse. But this is going to be an absolute blackout of the sun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Total eclipse of your heart. That sounds like a trip I'm going to pass on.
Who wants to go?
I'm going to pass, and no matter what they pay.
Dude, if you've never been to Charleston, go. It's a badass city.
Pass.
That was the nicest way he could have said, fuck you, Boston. I'm not going.
Go for it, Boston. Send me some pictures of a dark city. Like, oh, here's Charleston at night, but during the day. Oh, cool. It's
still night.
I want to go. Fuck you.
Good. That's yeah. Total. I love it. So yeah. Send in your responses. Where you want Boston to go during the eclipse? I can think of a couple places Boston can go during the eclipse.
Wherever I go, I'm not going with you, because I don't want to get into a fucking car.
You can go to hell, buddy. So, yeah, please.
I am not riding shotgun in Tim's car. Third time Tim has dropped his mic. You are seriously the mayor of Struggleville tonight, my friend.
I've had a hard week, guys. I may have had trauma, so. I didn't get the airbag. Just got the
dashboard. How many fingers am I holding up, Tim?
Just one big one.
Just the tip.
Nope. And here's the comedy police coming in about, hey, right. you shouldn't do a middle finger. That's on an audio podcast. The middle finger does not read, Boston.
Anyways. So, I believe we do have some feedback last previous shows.
Yeah.
Tim, why don't you go ahead and get into the feedback?
I could do that. All right, the first one comes from John. John says, hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Hey, John.
Just wanted to say thanks for doing all that you do. Heard your call to action and decided to send in a question. I wanted to get your thoughts on bachelor parties. I recently went to a bachelor party that started at medieval times and ended at a bowling alley. No drinks or strippers. When I got home, I just thought to myself, WTF. I'm not 10 and he's not 10. WTF kind of bachelor party did I just attend? So I wanted to hear some of your favorite bachelor party memories.
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be yours, just any bachelor party you attended that left an awesome impression. Hands down, my favorite was a weekend in Vegas full of gambling and partying. Thanks in advance, and keep up the good work. Also, Tim is the fan favorite. JD from NJ.
Is this one of your friends?
No. I may have added something in there at the end, guys.
Okay.
So first of all, that literally is the shittiest bachelor party I've ever heard of. Medieval Times and then a bowling alley.
Dude, Nick loves Medieval Times.
No, I just said that Medieval Times is fun. I mean, not for a bachelor party, but it is fun.
So a bachelor party, hey, for the, my perspective of a bachelor party has changed in the last 15 years or so, right?
Now that you have a daughter.
Well, no, back, it's hasn't changed for the better. Trust me. So back in the day, back in the day when we went, it was just a reason to go out and just and do what we normally would be doing anyways, but just you know, turn it up like a notch and go out and just do whatever. Back when I was in my 20s, we would go to the strip clubs all the time. Ask Chris Colk and Rob Francesini; they may have come along on a couple of those trips back in the day. But like that was just what we did. It was just for fun. And then, and now a bachelor party is like, especially for like, you know, the, you know, for folks who are married or parents, it's a way, it's a reason, it's an excuse to get the fuck out and just do shit that you don't get to do anymore.
Yeah.
And I'll lead into my most recent bachelor party experience, which actually didn't even end up having any strippers involved, which is amazing. And weird at the same time, but I went to Vegas, right, for a bachelor party, and we had a fucking blast. It was it was the AFC NFC wild card weekend for NFL, and we posted up in like the Hotel Las Vegas that which has the biggest sports book around, and we just bet on sports all day long, and it would have been Tim's personal hell. So that's why I wanted to talk about it.
I like to gamble, yeah. Actually.
It was so much fun. And I remember on our last night there. We went to like the New York casino, and we had a group of like
there's
five.
There's no Boston casino to go to. What exit is that?
What? Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. But we had like one of those nights where everyone was just winning, and we crushed this craps table and had a blast. And I'll never forget that as being one of the most fun bachelor parties I've ever been to. I ended up being, you know, coming out even with as far as my gambling debts went that weekend, but it was just so much fun. But man, Medieval Times and bowling, that's kind of like a field trip, not a bachelor party.
I went go-karting one time for a bachelor party for a buddy of mine, and that was like go-karting, and then we had dinner, and it was on like a Wednesday. So that was
cheese and wine.
Yeah, at the go-kart place, I had cheese and wine. No, the best bachelor party I ever went to, I was actually the best man and helped plan and put it together. Which, although I think I've mentioned this on the show before, I'm like, I don't like strippers. I'm uncomfortable with strippers. I find it gross. No offense, guys, but so I don't like being around them. Although this bachelor party had strippers, and it was for my brother's bachelor party. We rented a house in Tahoe and spent 3 days up in Tahoe and like paid all the food. But then we would go gambling, and it was awesome. We had a whole, I organized a big beer pong tournament and just, you know, just constant drinking and just absolute blast over the weekend.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, the last two that I haven't been a bachelor party in shit, probably 6 years or so, because most people get married in their 20s. But the last two that I've really enjoyed were exactly the same way, because I think it became like a trend in Knoxville. Like you rent a chalet up in Pigeon Forge, which is right near the Smoky Mountains, and you can get them up to like 20 bedrooms.
Pigeon Forest?
Pigeon Forge.
That's not better. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Pigeon Forge.
Yeah. It's actually a really
that's the stripper's name, right?
No, it's where Dollywood is. It's it's a big tourist trap. Actually, a lot of people go for their honeymoons there, and it's a big tourist place. But anyway, so you rent these huge log cabins out, and we'd go for 3 days. And like the first day, we'd do like what you're saying, like go karts, things like that. The next night we do like poker and thing, and just a lot of like just typical guy bullshit. But the third day would be just an all day drinking fest, followed by we'd probably get 10 to 15 strippers, and it'd just be clothing optional for the next 5-6 hours. And just, you know, because there's like 3 or 4 hot tubs around these huge places, and it's just a big, not like an orgy or anything, but it's just a big stripper party, and it's great. Mm. And it is what you what kind of what Chris is saying. It's an excuse just to go crazy because you're the first night's kind of like revisit your childhood. So you're doing go-karts and like weird carnival type rides in Pigeon Forge. And then the next night you're going to do more like gambling and college shit. And then the last night's like your last hurrah of like you're going to see as many nude hot women in one night as possible, and then that's the weekend or whatever, and you're just like, this was a fucking badass party, you know. And it's fun, you remember it because it is, it's like it's an event. And then I've done some where like these are like early 20s where like you just go into town and take a shitload of shrooms or pot or whatever and just
like they go into town and take a huge shit.
Yeah. Yeah, right on the curb. No.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, JD from NJ. Thanks for writing.
Oh, hey, fun caveat from that Vegas, one of the best bachelor parties I've been on. Wedding never happened. She left him for a chick.
Oh, nice.
Well, better. Yeah. At least he knew before the whole thing.
Yeah. At least you got to have a fun bachelor party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go back for a rematch.
Fun. Our next feedback comes from, or email comes from Maggie. Maggie says, "Hi, Married Man Crew."
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
I'm just listening to episode 31 from weeks ago. These episodes have numbers. Did you guys know that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. Episode 31. Well, let's find out what it's about. Some random thoughts. As a preschool teacher, please let young kids play. That is how they learn. If you want to do homework with your young children, it's play with them. Talk to them. Ask them questions and read, read, read. Reading 20 minutes a day is so important for kids of all ages. It drives me crazy when a parent of a four-year-old asks for homework. That's what I tell them. Any teacher knows right away which kids have been talked to and who hasn't. Okay, I'm just going to pause her email.
Yeah, so I think that's in reference to if I'm going back a few episodes ago. This was a topic of discussion, so it's probably a very topical response to it. So the idea was we're talking. I think a teacher had sent home a note saying that they're testing out the whole thing about not sending kids home with homework,
but
time spent with their families. And yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, we've been restricting the amount of time that my daughter gets to play with like the iPad and watch videos and stuff to only on the Saturdays or on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. But yet she has to like earn her way to be able to watch on the weekends. And it's amazing seeing, you know, how creative kids can be. And I actually recently subscribed to this, this website / Facebook group called fatherly.com. And any dad out there, Tim, you should totally check it out. It's awesome. They post really cool articles. But
really?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's funny. It's
fatherly.com.
Yeah, it's, trust me, it's awesome. Like
I brain went the opposite way with that one.
Yeah, yeah, no, hopefully that's the right URL. Shit, hang on, I'll check on that while I'm talking about it. But I read an article where it's like the things that parents should.
Yeah, I totally joined this Facebook group that you should join. It's called youporn.com.
No, it's it is absolutely fatherly.com. It's awesome. So one of the coolest articles I was reading is that they said, you know, teach your kids to be bored. And I was like, what? I didn't quite get it. And it was interesting.
Are you playing them this show?
You're nuts. But like teaching kids to actually be able to be creative and find things that keep them occupied is super important, and reading is part of that too. But like teaching your kids to be bored and not having them sit in front of like an iPad or sit there and do homework, or but like actually force them to sit there on their own without any type of you know, stimulation, and have them create their own environment, have them create their own fun by being you know, using their imagination, being creative, reading, the whole nine. So I couldn't agree more with what Maggie is saying.
Absolutely, I agree too. My daughter Charlotte's 6 and she's smart AF, because, you know, we did reading and everything, and she is She's amazingly smart and like will just be like, I want to do a craft today. And so they like, you know, cut out things and turn our front door into a cat. Or, and she just comes up with all these things and her vocabulary is amazing. So it is power reading. Read to your kids. Maggie goes on to say, I'm not sure what dates you guys have been on that have cost hundreds of dollars. I might have had one date that dinner cost over $100, and he wanted to go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Yes.
Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, that's easily $130.
It's always a toss-up on who pays. I've had a guy pay, and we've also split the bill at times. If we go on more than one date, I will pay if he lets me. I do offer. That's good.
Nice.
Nick, I have not had people wanting to friend me on Facebook when dating rather than give me a phone number. Or I have not had people do that. Most of my dates have been online, though. Most of my dating has been online, though. I usually wait to give my number and start texting until I know how crazy a guy is. I've had too many guys send me too many texts too soon and all. I think I called in with a dating disaster with one story about texting too soon. Thanks, guys. I love listening to you.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm curious. Like, well, if you're dating online, how do you meet up with the person where you're going on the date without getting the number?
I think I may have either read it wrong, or I think she was expressing that she doesn't do her dates online. She does like her dating through online, like matchmaking, like your donuts and coffee or whatever.
Okay. But yeah. Yeah.
So okay. Yeah.
Good email.
Thanks for listening, Maggie. And episode 31, who knows what that one was. It sounds like I don't remember any of this, so I probably wasn't on it. So probably not that many downloads.
You have to reference the title. I might remember it versus the number, because I, you know, like, you know, you just tend this podcast, I remember what we're talking about. What did I just do?
That was for Boston.
Oh,
what?
Just your reactions to me, Boston, tonight have been excellent. Hey guys, pay to get the video podcast because it's awesome. It's really great.
I keep forgetting you can see me.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I have to say, because I'm required to say this every episode I'm on, Nick's very attractive, guys, and you should pay just to see what he looks like, because his voice does not match his face at all, in a good way.
I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. That's the thing.
Yes.
All right, our next email comes. Hello, Tim and co-hosts. I have a question about maintaining a clean shave and how you all go about it. First, do you use electric clippers before bringing out the razor? And how do you deal with shaving the scrotum cleanly and safely? Also wondering if powder is needed after. Since Nick is the single one, I was wondering if the ladies appreciate it or even expect a clean-shaven guy these days. Is this a box that can be checked on dating apps? Thanks for your help, Seth.
That's a great question. And I'm actually pulling up the shaving cream that I use. But so currently, right now, I am definitely sporting a non-shaved look.
Gross.
But
he's talking about his balls right now.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, yeah, he's going back to
it. I'm actually right now I'm talking about my face. but one of the things, I mean, before I actually was growing a beard, I mean, I still have to line up the neck and the cheek line and the whole nine. But before, when I was shaving every day, I adopted the use of the safety razor. The safety razor, in my opinion, has been the absolute best and closest shave I've ever had. And for those who don't know, is Google it, you'll see it. It's one of those old school ones that Gillette used to make them. It's a little metal shaver where you spin the bottom of it, and it opens up the top to you put like a razor blade inside. It's a two-sided razor, and you close it up, and you can shave. It's one single blade. And I'll tell you, it is still, hands down, the best and closest shave I've ever had, including your Mach 3 turbo fucking whatever you want to call it. But the problem is that the razor companies weren't making any money off of it because the blades lasted for so long. Yeah. But you can still get them. And I actually use an old 1968 Gillette razor that I bought on eBay. I'm not even shitting you, but it sounds weird, but it's true.
Hipster.
Totally. But I did it before it was cool, before hipsters thought it was cool. but it literally gives the best shape. I now grow, I'm growing a beard. I've had a beard for the last 2 years or so, varying different lengths and such, but I still use it for my neck and for my chin line. But the best shave cream that out there is called Cremo Cream, C-R-E-M-O Cream. Gross. It's fantastic. And I'll transition. I use the Cremo Cream on my nuts as well. I don't use the safety razor on my nuts, though.
Thank God, no.
No. The Mach 3 is completely 100% reserved for the nether regions.
But I guess the question is, are you baby smooth or are you just like trimming that shit? Well, if you're using cream, you're baby smooth down there.
Well, dude, absolutely. I shave the whatever. I'll shave the my balls and in the shaft down to the skin. I don't go up here. I mean,
shaft. You're like,
absolutely.
You take a razor to the balls? Oh my
yeah,
God.
Absolutely, dude. Trust me, it
balls
is
balls and shaft.
It's just such a sensitive area. It's like you nick that fucker, it's going to bleed like hell.
Nick but, that area.
But you don't do that. That's the key. but everywhere else I trim. I mean, up above, around, yeah. Everything else, I just do the trim. But Mach 3 to the balls in the shaft, and it works well.
I use, like, electric clippers to trim stuff down. I'm a pretty hairy guy. In general, so I trim like the whole down, but I never usually shave. I did like full clean once, and it was really weird looking. I didn't like it, so.
Yeah, it makes you look bigger.
Well,
yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's all right, you know. I don't care about optical illusions. I felt like I look like a friggin' 4-year-old kid, you know? It's like no hair down there. It's like, come on. I'm a man, not a little boy. Nick, but, you clean?
Yeah, well, I'm different. You guys are both, you know, Chris has got the beard, you know, and Claire, you said you're hairy. Like, I'm Irish.
Soul patch.
And I can't even grow a beard. I'm 35 years old, still cannot grow a beard. So I do the electric on my face every morning, and then sometimes...
Yeah, but we want to know about your balls. We don't care about your face.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, I mean, the ladies appreciate the manscaping, so you got to do it, and you know, it depends on your woman. But I will tell you this tip though, like ladies, when it comes to shaving their legs, like they do it if they know they're gonna have sex, they do it the day before or not at all, because you don't want prickly, you know, things. So if you're on a date that day and you haven't shaved downstairs, then don't do it because it's just gonna be painful. But yeah, trim up. You know, manscaped to however you think looks masculine, I guess, if there is such a thing. Masculine balls.
Hey, man.
But yeah,
I gotta let them go.
Balls are inherently masculine, right?
I mean, I've had women that have, you know, the little strip, you know, the landing strip. I've had some that are completely shaved. I've had some that have a triangle. So, like, you know, it's, you know, it just depends on, I just don't want the 70s bush. Other than that, though, I don't care how they're trimmed downstairs. So I feel
like your southern charm will get you away with, like, your turn of phrase in this whole area. But I feel like Shandy's back of her neck hair is standing up on end when you're talking about the women you've had. And
no. Shandy's very sexually liberated. She's a modern woman. She can deal with – I'm sure she's had multiple partners like anybody.
Okay. That's not what I was meaning, but I thought, like, I was talking about just your verbiage you were using, but I guess the southern twang. Yeah, I don't want Shandy, basically, I don't want Shandy to get cross at you.
No, we'd work it out.
Good. Well, speaking of Shandy, we have our next email, and thank you to Seth for, so I guess the moral of the story is we all do manscaping and shave that shit, right?
Seth? Yeah.
Yeah, so our final feedback comes from Martha. And Martha asks, this is kind of appropriate because we're just talking about Shandy, but any advice on how to handle a super active group chat that includes people you don't really care for?
Oh, well, I care.
I think we're in a few of those.
Well, minus the caveat of the people you don't care. I'm not caring for everybody in these chat, but I fucking hate group chats so much. It's the worst. I there's nothing you can do about it either, because like if you leave it, someone's just gonna add you back.
Yeah,
Tim.
I wasn't the person who added you back, Chris. I was the person who was sending every single word as a different message, so it would make things on your phone.
Like I actually looked at my battery usage for that day, and Facebook crushed my battery that day because of the amount of text or Facebook messages going back and forth. And then I learned how you can turn the notifications off.
Yeah, turn the notifications off if it's bothering you, or you don't have to leave the chat. You can just like not read it. Hey, that's Martha. Why don't you try not reading it? If it's pretty rude just to like be angry at somebody and not just leave it.
The other thing you can do too is I'm assuming this is not Facebook. This is group messaging.
It could be GChat.
You can actually turn group messaging off and not have that be a thing.
Hmm. That's
so when that person sends the group message, it actually sends it separately to you, and the whole group can't go back and forth.
Yeah, nothing's worse than being in a chain with people you don't really know or anything. You know, like you get a group text message and it's like all these numbers you don't recognize, and then it's like, "Oh, I'm just letting you know something," and then you're just like, "Okay, like." Yeah, I'm so glad I get to see some random numbers I don't even know respond to, like, a big Happy Easter or Happy New Year's text, like, to everybody in their contacts.
Right. I would figure that would give you license, Tim, just to shit all over that, because you're like, I don't know you anyway, so I'm just going to write some fucked up shit, and...
But I know person, usually, who's putting me into this group, so it's like, yeah, usually, like, my favorite thing to do is, like, my brothers, my father, and my mom will all get into a group chat, and then they send me something, and I always, my first and, like, usually only response is, new phone, who dis, to them.
But here's what's funny about that Facebook group message is that, you know, on an iPhone, you get, like, the notifications will pop up. So if my phone's sitting there, it's in the lock screen or whatever, a notification pops up from Facebook Messenger that you have a message. And it gives you, like, you know, a line or two from a preview of what the message says. And somebody in this particular Facebook group message actually named the group Shandy, Take Off Your Headphones, or... And Tim just used the goddamn message. So, it says, Shandy, take off your headphones. But when it pops up in the little blurb, it comes up and says, Facebook Messenger, Shandy, take off your... And I remember my wife looked down. I was like, what the fuck is on your phone? I'm like, oh, no, that's just a face. I like show her. I'm like, here's what it actually says. And there you go. But I'm going to change the name.
Go for it.
Now, that goes back to the broadcast where they're talking about guys hitting on women on subways they're listening to music on the subway, and guys will walk up and go, can you take off your headphones because I want to talk to you? And they're like, no, fuck you. And that's where that comes from.
Here's a little insider baseball to all the Married Man listeners. There's this, like, secret sexual tension between Shandy and Nick going on in every group message, and it's, like, so palpable you can taste it. And so I want anybody who listens to both this show and the broadcast, you guys should really leave in feedback for Shandy about Nick. That would be awesome. Just, like, why is Nick's accent so attractive? Or, like, do you think Nick's accent doesn't sound like his face?
What would you say to Nick in French?
Ooh, yeah, she likes that. Southern France. Yeah, what's Southern France sound like? Hey, y'all, wee, wee, wee.
Parlez-vous.
Mm-hmm. Wine and cheese.
I don't know.
All right, guys. So that's all our feedback that we have for now. But I have one more thing for you. And, you know, it's not the six questions or five questions. What number is it, six or five? I always forget. I never have gotten to play that game. So, you know what? Whatever. I brought a game from my original podcast, and it's called Game On. Now, what Game On is, it's a contest, not to win, but rather not to lose, because the loser of the contest has to pay the winner and the host with an embarrassing story about their life. And, of course, embarrassing stories would be like, I don't know, any story I've ever told here on the podcast that, like, is about me getting dog feces in my mouth, or and I've got a couple good ones I've been saving. But, guys, Nick, Chris, are you ready to play Game On? Do you guys accept the challenge and the consequences?
I accept.
Nick? Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. So the game today is basically the way you play. This game is called Linkin Park. Okay. You guys excited for that? This is a game I have here. 10 names.
Wait, does Nick already have an unfair advantage in this game?
Possibly.
if it's about the band Linkin Park, then I'm going to lose.
No, it's about you parking and talking about Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
No, okay. This game is, I have here 10 movie titles, and you need to tell me yes or no, was Abraham Lincoln a character in this movie? you get that for 1 point, and you could get a bonus point if you could tell me the actor who played Abraham Lincoln.
All right, let's go. Wow.
So we're going to go with the person who has the next birthday coming up. We'll start. So which one of you guys has the next closest birthday?
May 28th.
Yeah, I guess May. It's January 4th.
All right. So Boston is first.
No, I'm first.
All right. So Nick is first. All right. Number one.
This election is rigged, I tell you. This election is rigged.
Did someone play Abraham Lincoln, or was Lincoln a character in the Lego movie?
Yes.
Yes. That is 1 point for Nick. Lincoln was in the Lego movie. Can you, from 2014, can you tell me what was the actor who played Abraham Lincoln?
Liam Neeson. I have no idea.
No, Liam Neeson played good cop and bad cop in that movie.
That's right, yeah.
No, Will Forte was the voice of Lego Abraham Lincoln.
He was in one scene, so like, yeah.
A house divided cannot stand. Yeah. So, after one question, Nick has one, Boston has zero. We're going on to Boston. Boston, number two, from 2009, the movie Black Dynamite. Is Abraham Lincoln in Black Dynamite?
I've never heard of this movie.
You've never heard of Black Dynamite?
Woman, shush, woman. You wake up the other bitches.
Yeah.
What is Black Dynamite? Who is the lead character in it?
Well, the lead character is Black Dynamite. That's the main character.
Okay, who's
it's
the lead actor?
It's a all right. Let's Nick. Why don't you? Well, I'll look it up so he can't cheat on IMDb.
It's an homage to black exploitation films of the 70s, to where like you have like the muscle bound black hero, and all he does is kick ass and have sex with multiple women.
I will
say that Abraham Lincoln was not in that movie.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Abraham Lincoln was. It portrayed in Black Dynamite. Nick, would you like to steal a point? Could you name the actor who played Abraham Lincoln in Black Dynamite?
I cannot.
Okay, that he was played by Pete Antico. So there you go. All right, after one full round, we have Nick with one, Boston with zero. Number three, Nick.
This is such bullshit.
I didn't think he would know every appearance of Abraham Lincoln, but we'll
Why
see.
Why wouldn't he know? He just told me he wants to, like, two episodes ago. It's just like his hero.
Yeah. In 2001, was he in the film Zoolander? Was he portrayed in Zoolander?
No.
No. And I'm sorry, that's incorrect. He was, in fact, portrayed in Zoolander. Boston, would you like to guess the character name?
The actor's name?
Yeah, the actor's name or portrayed.
Ben Stiller.
I'm sorry. It was Charles L. Brom.
Okay. Where was he in Zoolander?
I am going off a list of IMDb. I didn't actually fact check this, so it could be wrong, but whatever.
Is the answer to all of these yes, that he was in these things?
No. Number four. So this is going to Boston. Boston, time to catch up because Nick didn't get any points, so he's still at one. Number four. They've Killed President Lincoln from 1971 TV movie. Was Lincoln portrayed or a character in the TV movie They've Killed President Lincoln?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. He was in that movie. Boston gets 1 point. For a second point, can you name the actor to play Abraham Lincoln?
What year was the movie made?
1971.
Marlon Brando.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Joseph Leish Jr., of course, played Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Joey, of course.
Yeah, everybody knows him.
Come on, you guys.
Hey, it's tie ball game.
Hey, but it's 1-1 after two full rounds, and we're back up for Nick. Nick, you ready for this?
Of course.
Number five is a movie from 1936.
Oh, my God.
Prisoner of Shark Island. Is Abraham Lincoln play a character in Prisoner of Shark Island from 1936?
Oh, God. I'm gonna say no.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. President Lincoln was portrayed in Prisoner of Shark Island. Boston, would you like to try to steal the point and guess the actor to play President Abraham Lincoln?
No, I don't. Charlie Chaplin.
It was not Charlie Chaplin. It was Frank McGuinn Sr., of course. All right. Boston, time to take the lead with this one.
I might. If I beat Nick in an Abraham Lincoln-themed trivia game, this is going to be fantastic.
It's rigged, I tell you. Who knows movies from 1936?
This right. election is rigged.
This movie is from...
Trust me on this. No one knows more about Lincoln than I do.
I know Abraham Lincoln. He's a very good friend of mine.
I was touched by Abraham Lincoln.
Crooked Abraham Lincoln does not speak for me.
I'm going to grab him by the beard.
Yep. This movie's from 2013. Was President Abraham Lincoln portrayed in 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yes.
That is correct. You get a point. Boston's with 2 points. President Lincoln was represented in 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. What actor portrayed President Abraham Lincoln?
Charlie Cox.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. It was Ben Morrison, obviously.
Oh, Benji. All about the Benjamins.
Of course. All right, and so through three full rounds, we have Boston in the lead with 2 points, Nick with 1 point. Nick, come on, you gotta like get in the game, man. Number seven, from 2011, Dead Presidents Playing Poker.
He was in that movie.
He was in, and that, yes, Nick gets the point. President Lincoln was in that movie, portrayed in that movie. For a bonus point, can you name the actor to play President Lincoln in that movie?
No.
All right, well, obviously it was Matthew Messman. Duh. All right, Boston, you need this one to take back your lead. This one's actually a TV show from 1998. Was President Lincoln portrayed in The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer?
Yes.
That's correct. Boston gets a point. We have 3-2. Boston, can you name the actor to play Lincoln in The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer?
No.
All right. Well, Dan Florek, of course, played President Lincoln. And little known fact, that was like a CW or whatever. What was the show before? Or what was the channel before it was CW? It was like
WB.
It was the other one. I think it was, you know, those two merged into one channel. It was a sitcom about Abraham Lincoln's butler. So. There you go. I know that one, actually. All right. final round, guys, and we have Boston in the lead 3-2. So it's anyone's game.
So Nick needs to get this one correct.
Yes.
Not lose.
And hopefully you guys don't tie me because I forgot to do any tiebreakers, but I could come up with tiebreakers pretty easily. Okay. Nick, you need to get this one. Number 9. Is President Lincoln portrayed in The Lincoln Lawyer?
I'm going to say no.
That's correct.
Yeah!
That's a Matthew McConaughey movie about him driving in a Lincoln. So we have a tie score, 3-3. Okay, and so I'm just going to tell you right now, Boston, because I didn't prepare tiebreakers, if you don't get this right, you guys are both going to lose and owe embarrassing stories.
No, that's not. No, not happening.
So,
I'll tell you, this game is rigged.
So,
we only playing games that can be won.
Number 10. A Million Ways to Die in the West from 2014. Is Abraham Lincoln in A Million Ways to Die in the West from 2014?
Yeah, I saw
the
this
Seth
movie.
MacFarlane movie.
It was a terrible, terrible movie.
It was horrible. I hated it.
And I went and saw it with my buddy who had like a month or two before just split up with his wife. And like the whole beginning of the movie is about the guy splitting up with his wife. I yes, felt terrible.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure he enjoyed it.
I took him to the movie to make him help cheer him up. And it was all about this dude splitting up with his wife. I'm like, yeah.
What, Kramer versus Kramer tickets had sold out?
Yeah, seriously. Shit. I can't, for the life of me, cannot remember. I'm going to say yes.
And with the win, Boston gets it correct. Abraham Lincoln was portrayed in A Million Ways to Die in the
yes.
West. Can you go for the bonus point and tell me who played Abraham Lincoln? This might be the only actual famous person to play, other than Will Forte, to play Abraham Lincoln.
Played Will... No, I've got nothing. I don't even remember him being in the movie. I just didn't guess.
All right. Well, since I'm an evil dictator and I make the rules, I can break them. Nick, you have an opportunity to steal this answer and tie the game and force you both to tell embarrassing stories. Who played Abraham Lincoln in A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Is it the main character guy? What's his name?
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane.
Don't tell him an answer, boss.
Seth
what are you trying
MacFarlane.
To do?
Seth MacFarlane played him.
Okay, and with that, because of Boston, that's still incorrect. Nick, you have to tell us an embarrassing story. Gilbert Godfrey played Abraham Lincoln in A Million Ways to
makes
Die
sense.
In the West.
Yeah.
Lost on 7 years ago.
So, Nick, any embarrassing story will do. Pay up, man. Did you guys like Game On, I have to say? Was that
yeah,
a fun
yeah, My dating disaster from like the first week or second week I was on here has still been protected. I have not yet shared. All and right. That was what I was prepared to share this evening.
Well, we'll have to play Game On again. And
still under wraps.
It's got to be good too, Nick, or else we'll like make fun of you incessantly.
It's not that good, but...
Well, don't start it that way.
It's okay. So... When I first got to college, I'd only been with one girl ever at the time. And granted, I'd seen other I'd only seen other nude pictures from Playboy and things like that. But the only like actual boob that actually touched and you know everything were my girlfriends my ex-girlfriend at the time. And she had these really perky, erect nipples. And for some reason, that's just in my mind, that's what I was used to. So that's what I thought every girl had, especially when I got excited. Because, you know, photos, I'm like, oh, nipples are probably just flesh, you know, or whatever.
Nipple cocks.
Yeah, they're not. She was, it's like, oh, in Playboy, it's probably cold, or not cold, but it's warm, so they're not erect, whatever. So anyway, I meet this girl at a bar, and she's just smoking hot. And I get her back. She actually takes me to her place, and we start getting rowdy, and
I didn't want to get cross with her.
I didn't want to get cross with her, but you know, I get her down to just her panties and her bra. When her bra comes off, though, I just look at her boobs. Like I said, I'm a naive 18-year-old at this point. I look at her boobs, and her boobs are actually quite nice, but she has no nipples whatsoever. Like, it's like basically she has the areola and no nipple. And I remember, like, tweaking the shit out of this nipple, going like, is this thing ever going to get erect? And I'm saying this shit out loud as an 18-year-old. Going, and she looks at me. She's like, no, this is it. And I'm like, they don't come out? And she's like, no. And
they don't come out. They don't come out.
I'm so glad I won this contest today. This is fantastic.
But it's one of those memories in my head that I think back on. I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like,
episode title, is this ever going to get erect?
I like they don't come out, the question mark. Is this ever going to get erect?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But I remember, like, you know, like, she looked at me, and the thing is that we didn't stop. I mean, I would have thought she would have smacked the shit out of my face at that
That's
point.
What she, you
know,
said to, like, you, too, right?
No.
Is this thing ever going to come out?
But it's just one of those memories that's always stuck in my head because I'm so embarrassed by it. I'm like, I can't believe I was one when it got naked for me, and here I am insulting her breasts.
What do you expect from a Southern gentleman, right?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for the Married Man show this week, right? Cool. Oh, what?
I'm glad you guys liked the story. It's embarrassing to me, but I'm glad you guys liked it.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
It was
Nick.
An excellent payment, Nick, and I'm sure that story won't haunt you for years to come.
Nick is like a Vidalia onion. Vidalia, because he's got the Southern sweetness about him. However, he has so many layers to him and so many stories that we can just find out every week on The Married Man Show. Mm-hmm. So you should send your feedback, your voicemails, your emails, and pry into Nick's world. Because I think we all need to see what else is what else he has to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Send in pointed personal question emails. We'll answer it. Like, do we ever hold back? The Married Men never hold back, unlike some other podcasters who actually edit the shit out of their show. I'm guaranteed we don't edit anything out of these episodes.
Nothing.
Yeah, and we'll call and we don't call just random clips bloopers either. So crunch, 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 glug, glug, glug. Yeah, so if
Jeff,
you want...
you're so funny.
I just peed my pants.
Oh, Brooklyn sounds nice tonight. But that being said, please send in your questions for us at marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. And you can call into our number, which I don't know off the top of my head, but it's 510-69 Taffy.
There you go.
Yeah, I know that.
510-69 Taffy.
And again, thank you to our exclusive patrons, Tack from Tokyo, Brad Eckhart from Richter. Chicago, and Eckhart Richter.
For only $5, you can become a part of our specialized Patreon group on Facebook, and will give you animal care tips of how to take care of your animals.
Yeah, I specialize in dogs' anuses and rabbits. So, and also, hey, if you still join now, you still have access to our Patreon-only Married Man/Broadcast crossover episode. The only way you can get it is for $5 a month. And, yeah, hey, I think
and
that shows
just a reminder, I think that there's actually a poll right now on the Patreon Facebook page, which you get exclusive access to, with the Patreon's choice. I think, are we in the running for a repeat of the crossover show?
Oh, God, no. I hope not.
I think it's Jay and Jack TV, I think.
Yeah, well, not this month. Honestly.
We'll go there anyway. I mean, fuck it. Yeah.
But
I'm actually surprised we didn't get it again because it was a good episode.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I like to drink and eat corn chips on mic. I guess, how does this show end?
See you later.
Yeah.
Peace.